our Son. Thank you for all you do. You brought me through when I look around and see where I've been. You've been a friend. Glory,
honor,
honor,
exaltation,
exaltation,
all power,
power,
blessing,
blessing,
and worship,
worship, love without end. You've been a friend. Oh, exaltation,
all power,
but
unconditional love with no end. Love with no end.
Love without end.
You've been a friend. Away, away from the noise, alone with you. Away, away to hear your voice and me with you. It's been a while, but hear my heart cry again to worship you.
Spirit unto God. He's here to minister tonight. you free. Glory by the power of God. Lift up those hands and worship God. Come on and lift up those hands.
Go ahead and press into that. One day in your presence, Just love him from the depth of your heart. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you. We worship you. We magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Mighty God, mighty God, and worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you ladies over here, gather around Sister Gail. Lay your hands on her and pray for her right now. Just go right on. Press into that. All over the house. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live, I live. To worship you. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live, I live. To worship Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Worship you, I live, worship you. Praise God. Let's clap our hands unto him and magnify his name. How awesome. How wonderful your ways, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you love the presence of God? Touch your neighbor and tell him the best is yet to come. Now, how many of you believe that? That God saves the best for last. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just when I thought it couldn't get any better, it is. And richer. And deeper. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why don't you just lay your hand on somebody for just a second? Let that Holy Ghost just flow out of one vessel and onto another. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, God is so very, very good. We appreciate the privilege of standing in His presence, and this morning, the wonderful outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and such a great, great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. I want to talk to you for just a moment or two here tonight. We're wrapping up our sojourn through the book of Isaiah, and I don't know how you feel about this, but after I handle these books for months and months at a time, I'm reluctant to leave them. It's like an old friend talking to us, telling us about the great God that we serve. And tonight we're in the 66th chapter, just for a jumping off place. Isaiah 66 and the first three verses. And would you say, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? And ask your neighbor, who could build a house for God? You know, God's so big. How could you house God? That's quite a staggering question. Theologically, it's a staggering question. And verse 2, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But he gives you a little secret here. He said, but to this man will I look. I'm not looking for a house. And this is a little glimpse from 700 years before Christ. A little glimpse as to what God's dwelling place was going to be and what he desired to dwell in. But to this man, he said, the earth is my footstool, the heaven is my throne. Where's the house that you will build? Where's the place that you're going to build for my rest? He said, I made all these things. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. See, you've been troubled about being poor, but God says it's a good thing. Poor and of a contrite, I know he's talking about attitudinally and in spirit, and of a contrite spirit, and somebody, this man trembles at the word of God. That's who God's looking for, and he gives us a glimpse here of his dwelling place. He said, I want to find a man, and this is generic, I want to find a person that has a contrite and a poor spirit and trembles at the word of God. He said, that's where I want to dwell. Praise God. Verse 3, he gives you an idea about traditional, organized, religious pursuit of God, even a pursuit that he has given in terms of the mechanics of an approach to God. He told them to sacrifice. He gave them instruction as to how to do it. But it had gotten so noxious to him. Look at what he says to Israel. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He said, I'm tired of your sacrifices. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. The NIV said like he broke a dog's neck. He that offers an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burns incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. He said, I gave you structure and mechanics to come unto God. And he's talking specifically about the Mosaic law. And he said, I gave you that structure, and now you've made it so putrid in my sight that your sacrifices have no value to me. He said, I'm looking for a man with a heart that is humble and contrite, and he's willing to invest himself in my word. I'm looking for somebody like that. Now, don't take this and run with it out into the non-biblical, quasi-Christian world. Because at this point, they'll be with you and high five, and they're all excited. They're saying, yeah, no rules, no law, no regulation, no ordinance, nothing, just what's in your heart. It's never been that way with God. But the heart is the thing that matters. Can you say praise the Lord? So this is not an exclusion of the pattern that God has given, that there's always something for man to do. But this is the emphasis of the Word of God on the fact that it's your heart that God is interested in. He's not interested in the natural walking through the process. That's good for you, but it's good for you in the sense that it's designed to penetrate you and become a part of your heart and your life. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love Him, give Him praise for His Word that is forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. We magnify You, mighty God. We lift You up, O God, and bless Your name. Glory to God. We thank You for Your Word tonight that is forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. How many of you know the story of the Mount of Transfiguration? If you've been here any time, you know it because we deal with it quite often. It is an incredible insight to things heavenly and to the way that God works in regard to His people. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus is transfigured, and this is repeated in all the Gospels. And he begins to break forth in spirit and penetrate and shine like the sun. And he doesn't look like the humble carpenter's son when that happens. And on the mountain with him there, you have Moses and Elijah. Moses, a type of those that have died and been buried, and he's there on the mountain with Jesus. And Elijah, a type of somebody that's been, if you would, raptured. Because Elijah didn't die. He was caught up in a whirlwind to be with God. So you have a type of the Old Testament church and the New Testament church on the mountain with Jesus at the same time. And the Apostle Luke says that they were there talking to Him about His crucifixion that He would soon accomplish at Jerusalem. They're there talking to Him about the things of God, and God, like we said Wednesday night, God involves us and lets us handle miraculous things. Praise God. Things that we don't even understand. And as they're there on the mountain, Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, have been allowed to come up close to the peak of that mountain. And Peter sees what's happening, and he sees Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And he says, Jesus, should we build tabernacles? One for You and one for Elijah and one for Moses. And Jesus really, when you read it, He really doesn't even answer him. He, I think, just looks at him. Like, son, you just don't understand what's happening here. But what you get there is the fluid spiritual nature of the kingdom of God. You've got the Spirit of God in the Christ radiating out, breaking out in all of His power and awesome wonder. You've got an Old Testament prophet that never died, and he was caught up in a whirlwind, and he's been there with God all this time, and he's talking about Calvary that is yet to be accomplished. And you've got Moses, who bore the staff, opened the Red Sea, gave them the law, ascended to Sinai, and is the lawgiver and the deliverer, arguably the greatest prophet in the whole of the Word of God. You've got all that going on, and Peter wants to capture the moment. Peter wants to build a tabernacle and stay in that moment. He wants to somehow build a natural construct for the fluid, explosive, radiant, revelatory presence and business of God. He wants to build a little tabernacle around the resurrection and around all of the time frame that's being exposed there in that one moment of time. All of the heady heavenly concepts and all that God's doing there in His plan and in His kingdom. Peter, who is going to be the head of the church at Jerusalem, he wants to build a little tabernacle there and close that thing up and put it in a box so that he can perhaps come back to the mountain and visit it every now and then. In and manage it and hold it and keep it and preserve it. But you can't build a tabernacle around the kingdom of God. You can't build a physical construct that can hold the kingdom of God. What you'll do is you'll wind up building a physical construct around your own experience, and you'll start wedding yourself to some sort of a man-made device or man-made expectation where the Holy Ghost can't move and prayer can't get in and angels can't move and the Word of God can't reveal itself to you. If you want to build a little tabernacle and visit it every now and then and just have a little same old Sunday morning with three songs and an offering and a little sermonette, well, friend, you're going to have to go somewhere else to get that, because that's not going to happen. We're not going to degrade to that. But I want a move of the Holy Ghost in this house. I want God to have his way. Somebody give your neighbor a high five and tell him, we need a move of God. No, tell him, we need the moving of the Holy Ghost. Who wants God to have his way? I said, who wants God to have his way? Who wants the Word of God fulfilled? Who wants the promise of God to come down? Who wants Holy Ghost revival to break loose? You can't put this in a box. Praise God. But if you don't watch it, your flesh and your natural mind would like to have it predictable and controllable and understandable and measurable. And so everything's held in tension. We've got to have structure, but we've got to have a moving of the Holy Ghost. We've got to have structure. We've got to have a place to meet and a time to meet and people to get together with. And we've got to have some semblance of order and structure in what we do. But we always have to be ready for the moment when God wants to break out and he wants to call down the Word of God and be explosive in his manifestation. Somebody say praise God. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Well, praise God. Praise God. Does it bother you when we break loose and talk in tongues all over the house? If it does, you're in the wrong place, because this is going to get worse. It's like David talking to Michael. I'm sorry, sweetheart, it's going to get worse. I'm looking for the day when God moves in here and we respond to God and it's midnight and we're still talking in tongues and they got to carry the babies out into the... That's what the old timers tell me about. My God, that's what the old timers tell me about. Well, if we can't get it done in 35, 40 minutes and get out of here and get on down to Burger Doodle, I don't know if I want to be a part of that or not. You put it in a box if you want to, but when God comes to visit, I want him to visit. And when God starts moving, I want him to have his way. And I want the children to get the Holy Ghost. And I want the young people to love what God's doing. And I want homes and marriages to be blessed by the presence of God. Well, praise God. And when somebody leaves out of this house, a visitor, I want them to know they've been in the presence of God. They may not understand it. They may not agree with it. But I want them to know that I've never been to a place like that in my life. Well, praise God. Praise God. Isaiah 65. Well, let's start where we were this morning. Well, I am so all over the house tonight. And I really don't want to keep you a long time. Praise God. Let's go 65:1. He said, I'm sought of them that ask not for me, and I'm found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, and behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. In verse 2, he's talking about Israel. I've spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people, which walks in a way that was not good, and after their own thoughts, a people that provoked me to anger. Verse 1, he's talking about you. Touch your neighbor and tell him you are prophecy fulfilled tonight. Let me tell you something. He walked for centuries reaching out his hand to somebody that had God in a box. They had God in the temple. They had God in the tabernacle. They had a monopoly on God. They had a corner on the things of God. And they didn't think God could walk off and see and get anybody else. But God left Israel behind, and God started calling a people that had not known him before, that were not called by his name. And the Gentile church, this church tonight, is a fulfillment of that prophecy. Listen to me. If you don't think God will get up out of this house and go somewhere and find somebody that'll worship him, you've got another thought coming. If you don't think God will leave you behind and go find somebody that'll get up and pray and get up and serve and get up and worship and get up and love him. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. God said, I'm looking for somebody that's in this with their heart, in this with their heart, not just a mechanical observance of religion, not just a mechanical observance of a list of holiness standards. I love holiness, but it's got to be from your heart, not a list of standards. Well, praise God. Praise God. You're the fulfillment of prophecy. You're who Isaiah was talking about in chapter 28, verse 11 and 12, when he said, for with stammering lips and another people will I speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. Everybody in the house that talks in tongues, shout amen. You're the fulfillment of, do you know it? As well as Israel is the fulfillment of prophecy tonight, you are the fulfilled prophecy of the word of God seated on these pews. God has called a Gentile bride from all over the world tonight, and we are a part of that. My God, who are you? Tell your neighbor, we are the people of the Most High God. What are you doing? Tell them we're building up the house that was built long ago. I said, who are you? I said, who are you? We are the people of the Most High God. What are you doing? What are you called to do? We are called to build up the house that was built long ago. My God, does anybody feel the energy of the mission of God moving in? Is it in your heart, or were you just born into it? Is it in your heart, or have you just settled down into ritual? Is it alive in your spirit? God's got a dynamic, fluid moving of his spirit. Some people have built tabernacles around it. It's like, okay, it's there. That's how the denominations got into their disconnect. They have a disconnect between Sunday and Monday. They lock Jesus up in the house. Now, Jesus, you stay right there. We'll be back next Sunday. Don't go anywhere. We're going to go live like the world and dance with bow-legged women and do what the world does. And then on Sunday, we'll come back. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. And they got him shut up in a box, and they've lost the dynamic, flowing, moving, pulsing of the Holy Ghost of God. But you don't want to do that. When you walk out of here tonight, you want to walk out a glowing orb of Holy Ghost power. I am filled up to the overflowing with the power of God. When I pray, things move. When I lay my hands on people, something happens. When I call on the name of Jesus, God begins to move on their behalf. My God. Is anybody here apostolic tonight? Is anybody here filled up with the kingdom of God? Touch your neighbor and say, it's got to be in your heart. Got to be alive in you. Touch them again and say, God's not dead. God's alive. This thing is alive. God is not the God of the dead. God is the God of the living. Praise God. Are you okay? Isaiah 65, 13 and 14. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. This is the contrast between a lively, vibrant experience and a traditional, boxed-in, man-made religious experience. Are you with me? He said, therefore, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink. Now, he's speaking directly to Israel, and he's talking about his servants, which is reflective of his Gentile church. He said, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart and shall howl for vexation of spirit. Praise God. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to eat at his table. And I want to drink from the fountain. And I want to rejoice and not be ashamed. And I want to have joy of heart and a song and not sorrow of heart. Praise God. You can't build a box big enough to close in the moving of the Spirit of God. I want to tell you that what we're doing here is not big enough for what God wants to do. It's not big enough in system. It's not big enough in method. It's not big enough in building. It's not big enough in property. It's not big enough in resources. God's got a bigger idea. Where is your idea? Are you with God? Are you ready for God to give us marching orders? Are you ready for the cloud to begin to move and we fall in line and we begin to march with the cloud? If this sounds like preparatory for revival, it is. I believe we're about to shift gears and step up. Let me tell you, we have never had better revival than we had the last couple of times Brother Keith Clark was in the house. But we're about to drop down. We're about to drop down into a lower gear and catch some more torque and traction. We're about to start pulling a load around here, and the kingdom of God is going to blow up in a way you've never seen before. My God, I feel that all up in my body, my mind, my spirit tonight. Praise God. Oh, my God, Brother Son, we just wanted to have a little Sunday night something here, and come on, we got to go to work in the morning, and we're just, no, it can't ever be reduced. It can't ever degrade. It can't ever lose its momentum. It can't ever just be about, oh, ho, hum, I wish we could get out of here. My God, God may move in this house. I think God sent us a message Wednesday night. We had a lady standing right here. I was ready to dismiss. I thought we were about done, and she's getting the Holy Ghost over her hand. Well, praise God. You ready to shut the altar down? God's ready to pour out the Holy Ghost on somebody else. You ready to go to Burger Doodle? God's ready to baptize another one. About the time we get ready to leave one night, I feel prophecy. About the time we get ready to leave one night, somebody's going to come in those doors, come right down to the altar and get the Holy Ghost. Well, we have to stay all night? No, you just got to be ready. You just got to be fluid. You've just got to be dynamic. You've got to, when you feel a bump, you've got to jump. When God speaks, he's looking for somebody that'll move. When he's looking for somebody with a heart that's tuned in to the kingdom of God. Now, somebody's got it on country western. Somebody's got it on rock and roll. Somebody's got it on a ghetto blaster. But you got to get your heart tuned to the kingdom of God. I'm going to give you a minute. Somebody's got their heart tuned to Romeo. Somebody's got their heart tuned to Juliet. But you got to get your hand up here, get that dial. It's not about a girl. It's about a God. It's not about a boy. It's about a God. It's not about a dollar bill. It's about my God. It's not about a bigger house. It's about my God. It's not about a better car. It's about... God in the morning. God at noontime. God in the nighttime. I don't know when he's going to move, but I know he's going to move. My God, let's give him high praise. Ha. Somebody talk in tongues with authority. Ha! I'm an open door where God can break in. I'm a vessel God can use. I'm a voice God can speak through. I have hands that God can call into use. My God, go ahead, talk in tongues. Somebody that's real brave, sing in tongues. You don't have to sing good, just sing. Paul said, what is it then? I'll sing in the understanding. I'll sing in the spirit. Oh, you better get used to it. The choir's going to all break forth, singing the same song in tongues. I'm just telling you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have you read in 1 Corinthians where Paul's teaching the church? And he said, eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared. Well, you know, he's quoting from Isaiah 64 and 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. But Paul finishes that out, and he says, but he has revealed those things to us by his Spirit. My God, we're getting a glimpse into things that prophets have desired to look into. We're getting to look into things the Old Testament patriarchs wanted to look into. We are privileged above all people tonight. Don't let this thing, don't let it grow old. Don't let the shine wear off of it. Don't let it grow cold in your heart. But keep this thing alive and fluid and dynamic and be ready. Praise God. We don't want to go to rust here. God's going to be calling us. Praise God. That text that we used this morning from Isaiah 63. Who is this that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? Edom is a type of Esau, and Bozrah is a major city there, and it just means the gathering of grapes. And this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. This is a picture of the crucified Christ, and it's a picture of the Christ come back at Armageddon. And it is dual in its prophetic meaning. And God answers the question and says, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. This is God. This is God picturing himself in Edom, in Bozrah. And he said, I have tread the winepress alone. He said, there was no one of the people there to help me, but I did it alone. New Life, I want you to understand God has a plan, and God's going to work his plan with or without us. Get this and understand it. God's going to work his plan. God's going to do his thing. He's going to fulfill his word with us or without us. I've got to make up my mind. I'm going to be a part of what God is. In the morning, I need to wake up and I need to say, God, I want to be a part of your plan today. I don't need to be telling God all of my plans and inviting him on board. You understand me? You need to start the day by saying, God, I want to be a part of your purpose. I want to be a part of your plan. Let me tell you something. If you'll help God achieve his goals, your dreams and your goals are going to fall into place. Anybody know that already? You know that to be true? Praise God. God is in that imagery at Bozrah and in Edom. He's by himself, and he's taking care of the business of God. He's trampling the winepress. And in the dual imagery there, he's taking care of Armageddon, and he's taking care of the crucifixion. And he is winning all the battles, and he's conquering all the foes, and he's doing it all by himself. But he said to us in our text, I wish I could find a man with a contrite heart. I wish I could find somebody with a poor spirit. That's who I'd like to dwell in. That's who I'd like to work with. I wish I could find somebody with a heart for the kingdom of God that just said, God, whatever you're doing, I'm with you today. God, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, I'm with you today. Whatever your dreams are. He's looking for somebody. He said, you can't build him a house. You can't close him in. But he said, I will commit myself to somebody that's got that precious heart for the things of God. Praise God. At Ashdod, the Jews had taken the Ark of the Testament into battle with them. It was the day when Eli's sons were perverted and they had profaned the holy place and they were involved in immorality in the house of God. And they were in a battle with the Philistines and they wanted a talisman. They wanted a symbol of the authority and the power of God. And so they carried the ark with them into battle. And they still got their brains kicked out. And the Philistines stole the Ark of the Testament. Stole their God. And the Philistines thought, the Jews are weak and their God is weak. But for the Jews, they had reduced it, distilled it down to the temple or the tabernacle, the golden box, the priesthood, the clothes, the horn, all of the stuff. And it had long since quit being a real and a vibrant spiritual experience for them. And so God just sat in the box and didn't do a thing. He didn't kick the Philistines. He didn't win the day for the Jews. He let them get cut up and bloodied and beaten and battered, and they lost their shirts and they went crawling back into Israel. And the Philistines took the box, the golden box with the God of the Jews in it, and they took it to the house of their God Dagon in Ashdod. Because that's what you do when you conquer a god. You put him in the house of the gods because now he belongs to you. But that night, God reached out of the box and he slapped Dagon behind the head. You be Dagon. Well, no, stay down, Dagon. And they came in the morning. Give me you four guys right there together. Hurry, hurry. You came in the morning and you found your God cold out on the floor. He got KO'd in the first 10 seconds of the first round. And so they set him back up. This is really bad. You really don't want a God that you got to prop up. And they went about their way because they looked at him and he said, everything's cool because Dagon's back on his. But the next day, the next night, God reached out and did it again. And the next day they came in and they found him down on his face again and they had to set him up again. You see, this is men controlling gods. This is men building houses. This is men setting agendas. This is men holding the power and the God, and they know this God has no power. But they're happy with that. But the next night, God got serious. And God took off his head and his hands. And I don't know how long it took them with super glue to undo that. But not only that, but all the guys got tumors in sensitive places, and it was awful. And they said, you know, We got to send this God. You know, there wasn't anything wrong with God. God slapped their God around. God conquered all of Philistia all by himself, never broke a sweat. It didn't cost him anything. He never stopped being God. He never stopped being God. He never stopped being God. But they tried to put God in a box. They tried to put God in a house. They tried to put God in a form. And God quit working on their behalf. God is a spirit. And they that worship him, they that serve him, they that follow him have to serve and worship and follow in spirit and in truth. My God, anywhere you go in apostolic churches, they're used to herky-jerky going on. They're used to seeing somebody, more than that, a Holy Ghost gets them moving on their shoulders, and that's nothing. In a Baptist church, in a Catholic church, that'll have everybody in the house looking at you. But Holy Ghost people, we know about that. That's the moving of the Spirit of God. We want the moving of the Spirit of God. We want God touching us. Whoa! Somebody say, whoa! Somebody say, whoa! My God, there ought to be a little whoa in your experience. There ought to be a little moving of the Holy Ghost in your experience. There ought to be a little shaking. There ought to be a little trembling. There ought to be a little ascending to the mountain of transfiguration. Oh, take a minute and shout. Just take a minute and shout. Just take a minute and shout. When I think of his goodness, what he's done for me. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? Anybody think he's able? Anybody think he's worthy? Anybody know he's awesome? Anybody believe in miracles? Anybody expecting revival? My God. All of Israel hiding in the cave. But from outside the lines, L-I-E-D-S. A little boy with a leather sling in his pocket. No armor, no pedigree. Nobody knows him. No reputation. Not a part of the existing paradigm. Not a part of the accepted methodology. He immediately begins to make everybody uncomfortable. Everybody's hiding and being quiet. And he said, what is this all about? What did that uncircumcised Philistine say? And his brothers were like, you shut up now, you're making trouble. Because people that have God in a box don't want you letting him out. And people that want formed, concrete, stove up, arthritic religion, they don't want you rubbing WD-40 on it. I'm going to go kill that giant. You're too short. You're too young. You don't know. We know how. That's why we're hiding in caves. Praise God. Let me tell you where revival's going to come. Revival's going to come where people have a mind that's outside the box. They're not afraid to walk outside the lines. And let me stop. Don't make me qualify. We believe in the doctrine. We believe in the holiness. We believe in the word of God. But let me tell you, God's going to do some things in these last days. Nobody's ever seen them before. God's going to raise up a David with a sling in his pocket. God's going to raise up a Samuel, a little boy in a linen ephod. I saw a little boy the other night, Sunday night. It was crazy in the altar. But I saw a little boy down here with his hand on a little girl's head. Now hold on, son. Only qualified men can lay hands on people and go, you're too short. You're too young. You're too... You don't fit our box. You don't fit our concrete criteria. But I'm telling you, God's about to break loose some miracles in the hands of some little bitty people. Little girls, little boys, and teenagers. My God. We're having kids get the Holy Ghost down at Smoothie Joe's on Monday night. They're coming out from behind the counter with aprons on, saying, "Can I get some of that?" And these kids don't have any better sense. They're just saying, "Yeah, we'll pray you through right here in the store. We'll pray you through right here in the parking lot." Whoa! Somebody say, "Whoa!" My God. People are getting the Holy Ghost in Bible studies. People are getting the Holy Ghost on accident down in the altar on Wednesday night. We had three get the Holy Ghost in that little tiny room over there in Sunday school this morning. They didn't have a responsible adult with them or anything. They just acted like they had good sense. And prayed and got the Holy Ghost. You know what they're starting to believe? They're starting to believe in revival. They're starting to believe it can happen anytime, anywhere. They're ready. My God, are you? Touch your neighbor and tell them, "I'm ready." No. Tell them, "I'm ready. I'm ready anytime. I'm ready anywhere. I'm ready." Are you ready for a move of God? Praise God. Praise God. Well, I'm done. And I didn't keep you long, so you can get back in your shell. And we can have our salutation. God. I want you to just stop. And for just a little bit here, I want you to meditate on the goodness, the richness, the power, the mercy, the anointing, the blessing. And I want you to just begin to tell him, "God, any way, anyhow, anytime, anything, whatever you want, God, we're ready." We want you to break forth and be God. We want you to loose your word in this house. Praise God. As you're doing that, let's just all gather down around the altar tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're first, step up on the steps and make room. When you get here, lay hands on somebody or take somebody by the hand and join together. Just continue to talk to God. Praise God. We're ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, anointing. Let that Holy Ghost pray through your vessel right now. Let that anointing move through you right now. power. God, I want you to pray for your neighbor now that they be mightily used of God, that the anointing and the grace, power of God come down on your brother, your sister in the Lord. God, room in the house. There's room in the house. Praise God. Brother Kedrick, come here. Brother Kedrick is nuts about Bible studies. He's been crashing all my Bible studies. He shows up on Monday nights and crashes my Bible study. He shows up on Friday nights and crashes my Bible study. And he's just hungry for Bible study. And now he's got two of his own, teaching his own Bible studies. Well, just who do you think you are, son? I've got a Bible study here. I can't have you breaking in on my... You might upset the delicate balance of my Bible study. You know, my rigid structure and expectation. But he's hungry for more of the Word of God. There's room in the kingdom for that. Are you hungry? My God. Praise God. Brother, praise God. Brother Will, come here. I've seen a transformation in Brother Will. Praise God. He called me the other day and he said, hey, I'd like some tracks. I said, well, Brother Will, we've got tracks out there. He said, but just some regular ones with some regular church information on it, like normal services and a map and all that, with that nice smiling face thing on the other side. But Brother Travis, smiling on the other side. And I said, well, you know, Brother Will, we've got tons of these little business cards. He said, no, but that's not what I want. Now, son, I'm the pastor. I tell you what I want. You don't. But he said, you know what I really want? I really want some of those like we do for revival, but just for normal church services. And with Brother Cliff's name and number and Bible study stuff on the other side. There, you know? And I thought, well, nobody's asked for that before, but let's do it. I called Sister Linda and Sister Shauna, and they made a bunch of them. And you guys have been passing them out on Saturday morning, right? Did anybody call an outreach? A formal, structured outreach? No. Y'all just doing it on your own. Well, now see, we can't have you just doing things on your own, man. This has got to be... But you can't put evangelism in a box. You'll kill evangelism if you put it in a box. This thing is alive. Let me tell you something. That kind of stuff is happening all over this church house. People are dreaming dreams and seeing visions and getting impressions, getting inspirations in the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. Now, we've got a pretty good move of God going on in our normal services.